Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. We have a guest here who needs no introduction, one of the greatest to ever do it, and now the new Lemoyne head coach, Casey Powell. Casey, it has been a while since we have chatted. It's good to see you. How are things going?
Oh, it's been great. It's obviously been a crazy few weeks here to get this thing rolling and in motion, but I'm certainly excited. This is I got in late last night back to Syracuse from Denver, finished my final commitment of the summer, and this is day one in the office here in Syracuse, New York at Lemoyne College. So certainly excited for what's ahead, and there's a lot to do, a lot to learn, and I'm excited to get after it.
You know, Casey Powell in Syracuse, New York, you know, I think people have heard that before. Lemoyne, you know, when did this kind of opportunity come across and just how did this work out for you? I think it came a little bit of surprise to some people.
I think so. I saw that the position was available, and I've always been intrigued and interested in becoming a collegiate coach. I've done a few stints with it, but I've always followed better opportunities in the sport that have been provided to me. And I've had the opportunity to kind of travel around and be different parts of the country, and a lot of player development stuff, a lot of lacrosse events. I had my hands on a lot of different things, but I felt like, you know, with this opportunity, this was the right time to go for it. And I feel like this is a really good time period in my life, and this position became available. I showed interest, and Lemoyne countered their interest right away with me, and it kind of you know, went really fast from there. But this is something you know, I'm certainly excited about. It's great to be home, great to be back in upstate New York, and to have this incredible opportunity here at Lemoyne.
I was thinking it was probably like 15 or so years ago. I don't know if you remember this. We sat in a hotel room near Gillette Stadium and we were doing some sort of live chat thing. And you announced to the world that like you were looking to get into college coaching. You mentioned you've had stints along the way, but this is like the deep dive. Now you're a head coach of a Division I program. What about the timing just kind of lined up for you?
Well, I have a fiance here in Syracuse, 50 years old. You know, I've been wanting to come home, for sure. And, you know, I felt like now was the right time in terms of, the experience, necessary. I feel like I said, I'm in a really good, place and a really good position. And, this job became available, and, obviously put a lot of thought into it. But I feel like I'm really ready and really prepared for this. Everything I've done in my career, especially the past 20 years, is to make impact on the game of lacrosse. And this is certainly no different. It's going to be definitely a change of how I've approached my lifestyle. And I've been very entrepreneurial in the past and followed different opportunities all around the country. And it's been exciting and fun. And, you know, as part of that, I've learned a lot. But now it's time for me to hunker down and grow roots here back home and take everything that I've learned across the country and on this incredible journey and really serve the student athletes here at Lemoyne College. So I'm excited to make impact at Lemoyne and have this opportunity to be a Division I head lacrosse coach. So it's really exciting. I know I have a ton to learn, but the good thing is I have an incredible network of former coaches in this area, and I have a big network of people that are willing to help me. So I'm not afraid to go get help, and that's what I've done here in the past couple weeks already. So I'm leaning on some of my network and my good friends who have collegiate coaching experience, and I even went to Coach Simmons's house the first person after I was offered the job to go there, and I sat with him for a couple hours just to talk about how he built a program with limited resources, and I'm kind of in the same boat. So I've been fortunate to play for some incredible coaches. I played on 13 pro teams, and that was 13 coaching staffs, and I got to play for Coach Simmons and Coach Desko and Coach Donahue, and I played on 4 USA teams, and I've really taken a little bit from everybody that I've been around and kind of implemented into my own system, starting with my high school coach and all the way up through college and all the pros. So I've had a really close-knit relationship with the people that I played for. They made a big impact on me, and now I'm hoping it's my turn.
Excellent. I want to talk a little bit more about Coach Simmons in a little bit, because I can imagine there's no better person, you know, to have as a mentor, to have as someone to lean on than Coach Simmons. But Lemoyne, I want to talk a little bit more. You know, it's a program that has great history. You know, Dan Sheehan is a guy in the region. You know, I'm sure you're so familiar with everything he's done for Central New York and upstate New York, and at Lemoyne, won championships. It's an amazing history, but also in like a little bit of a transitionary period. Now it's, you know, the first time as a full member with all the perks at D1. How appealing is, you know, a place like that, that has a lacrosse culture, lacrosse history, but then also is kind of embarking on a new chapter as well?
Yeah, it's an exciting time for sure. And, you know, again, I feel like I'm at the right place at the right time. Dan Sheehan has done an incredible job. He was inducted in the Upstate Hall of Fame at the same time that I was. We're in a similar age, and I followed his career. And Lemoyne, you know, in the past, kind of explained it as, it's kind of felt like Syracuse's little brother, Syracuse's little brother. So they've always been here and been around. I've had great relationship with the players and the alums. They have championship pedigree and history, and with entering Division One, it's certainly a brand new chapter. And you know, they went from one of the big dogs of D2 to the, you know, to the bottom of Division One. So a lot of work to do to get up to par and get back to championship style pedigree. It's going to be a big challenge, but some of the things that I like about this is the tradition that they've had. I've had an outpouring of tremendous support from the alums. The players that have came here are champions, and they've been very outgoing and sending me a lot of messages and excited about the future. And one of the things that I really like about Lemoyne, it reminds me of how I was growing up. I didn't have a lot of resources. I didn't, have a lot of bells and whistles, but I did it through hard work and effort and getting out there on a lacrosse field and giving my best every day. So we have an amazing school, a tremendous business school, but we're small, limited resources, and that's what I'm excited about. I can focus on lacrosse. I can, the student athletes that do come here are, committed to, making an impact. And I think the whole program's really excited. We held our first team-wide Zoom on Sunday night, and it was my first opportunity to say hi to the guys. And that's kind of number one is, get to know the guys, see where we're at, see what we need to do, and see what we're going to need to recruit moving forward. So we've had a tremendous amount of interest from players and that want to come and, make an impact here at Lemoyne. So it's really trying to figure out, right away what we have and what we need and the kind of players that we're going to go after moving forward.
I think Lemoyne is always kind of, even though, the class of D2, the best program to ever go through Division II, always thrived in this blue-collar, scrappy underdog role. And it sounds like that's something you want to continue along. And, I mean, is there a better area in the country to have a college lacrosse program, right? Syracuse area, Central and Upstate New York. How do you best tap into that?
It just gives me goosebumps just saying that. This is, we're upstate New York, the cradle of lacrosse. This is where the game originated, from the Haudenosaunee. We're on Onondaga land. The tremendous amount of history and Hall of Famers that have played lacrosse here and coached lacrosse here. This is it. This is where it's at in terms of lacrosse. And I'm certainly excited to have this opportunity to build on what's been here and grow and create some more excitement around the sport and around Syracuse, New York. So my goals are to recruit heavily upstate New York, from Buffalo to Albany and, everywhere in between. So there's a tremendous amount of great lacrosse players here that play that blue collar style that I'm going to be looking for. And, I say, I want guys that dive for the end line. I want guys that, go hard and give the extra and play with passion. So I'm really looking for lacrosse guys, people that live and breathe it, like I did, and like my future coaching staff is hopefully going to have. So certainly excited about this opportunity to be in upstate New York and to build upon what Lemoyne's done in the past. But it has all the makings to do something really great and special here.
You got a busy slate ahead, with this summer and kind of being right toward the end of recruiting season, and then go right into, the September, where you can make contact with the players and then meeting your own staff. If you can just kind of describe to me, what's your next 10 days look like?
Well, like I said, today and tomorrow I'll be in the office, kind of getting up to par, getting ID cards and office keys and email address and getting a hold of the roster, what's coming back, meeting with my assistant coach Justin Schneidman, and then Saturday I'll be heading down to Baltimore for the All-America New Balance Games, kind of my first event. A couple of our commits are playing in that game, so I'm going to go watch them. And then really just kind of get down to work. But it's my first order of business is to talk, communicate with my roster, with my team, see where we're at, get set. And then I have some big decisions to make in terms of who else I'm going to bring on board. So my goal is to again, try to find the right fit for what we're going to be doing here, and obviously that's an important piece. So I'm trying to thoughtfully put together the best possible scenario. Our defensive coordinator Justin Schneidman will be staying on, and he did a really good job last year of coaching, and but I'm just getting to know him as well. So there's a lot happening. My goal is to really get entrenched, sit in this seat as much as I possibly can, and absorb and learn as much as I possibly can right off the bat, and really try to get a grip. I have other coaches from the Division I, trying to set up games and secure the schedule and all that. So there's a tremendous amount of work to be done. But I have a lot of work and or a lot of support here at Lemoyne and in the community, and I'm going to rely on that all. But this is exciting, and my goal is to give this all I got. So we're ready to work and ready to go, and I'm certainly excited.
Casey, one of the things that's like really intriguing about your resume is, there's these guys and these women who, they graduate college and they go volunteer assistant coach, and just do the whole, traditional, I guess you could say, coaching path. But you've touched on pretty much every level of the game. Your involvement internationally, the pro lacrosse, the youth lacrosse level, and in just being a Colorado Academy. How does that benefit you having maybe a little bit more of a kind of global holistic view of the game?
Well, I think there's something to be said about both paths. I respect what the traditional way of getting an assistant job and grinding and moving up into position as you find success through your program or individually. And there's a lot of great coaches in college lacrosse that I admire, and I'll continue to watch and learn from. But I feel like my pathway is unique, and it really separates me from almost everybody in the game. I've focused on player development at all different levels, and that's what I feel like I'm best at, is identifying talent and utilizing what I've learned in the past to help players become better and more effective out there. So I have a really big network, with clubs and high school coaches and fellow college coaches. I know a lot of pockets of players that I plan to tap into, most recently Colorado. But I I've played with the best players in the world. I've learned their mentality, and that's what I'm going to try to express. And I've taken what I've learned from Syracuse, head, heart, hustle. Defining that, and considering, how I break that down into my player development, and that's kind of what I look for: a player with high IQ, a player with passion, and somebody that's willing to do what it takes to reach his goals. So, and then Coach Simmons also taught us a Bible verse, 118:24, and it's today is the day the Lord giveth, rejoice and be glad. But Coach Simmons's message to us was less less religious, but more about, it's not about what happened yesterday. It's not about what happened tomorrow. It's about today. So that's my goal, is how can I make impact today? How can I get better today? How can I help Lemoyne Lacrosse today? And that's what I'm going to be focusing on. That's how I was as a player. I tried to give my all each and every day, and over time, you see progress. So I love the game of lacrosse. I always have. I've always wanted to do something like this, because of my idols and my heroes who have coached me. And this is an exciting time for myself personally, and I've never seen my family so excited. So my brothers are calling me coach, and so it's really cool. So everybody's excited here in upstate New York, and we're fired up.
Coach Simmons, his name has come up a few times on this podcast already, and for a good reason. He is the best to ever do it. How can you distill down just what's the most important lesson he told you? I guess it could be a lesson about life. It doesn't even need to be about coaching, but that you can translate into this and make a positive impact on this Lemoyne community.
Well, one story he sh shared with me, and I was actually a part of it, but in 1995 we won the national championship when I was a freshman, and this big donor came up after into the locker room, and we're all celebrating, and Coach Simmons told me the story after what was said. But he goes, "Coach Simmons, congratulations on another national championship. I'm going to give you $1 million and build you guys a new locker room." And Coach Simmons just looked at him and said, "What do I need a new locker room for? We won six national titles in this one." So he turned down the donor, took, I think he got the money in some other way, shape, or form to help the program. But that's kind of how he is. You hear coaches and you talk about the facilities and all that kind of stuff, and we have everything that we need here at Lemoyne. We have an awesome turf field that I'm looking at right now. We have a weight room, we have a locker room, we have an incredible campus that's easy to get around. We're in the heart of lacrosse country, and just some really cool opportunities and stuff. And Coach Simmons, just another story is, we got on a bus for the Final Four one year, and we had some rap playing, and it was cranked up, and Coach Simmons got on the bus, and he turned it off and put some new music on, started playing classical music, and turned it up, and we're all kind of looking at each other like, what's Coach doing? What's he doing? Well, for 15 minutes from the hotel to the Final Four, we're listening, blasting classical music, and trying our best to get into it. And well, we pull into the stadium, and some people are flipping us off, some people are cheering us on as our bus goes by, and he gets in, and we pull up to the locker room, and he turns the music off. He goes, "Does anybody know who that is?" And we're like, "No." He's like, "That's Mozart. He's the best at what he did. You guys go be the best at what you do." We're like, "Let's go."
But yeah, Coach Simmons, clearly thought about the game in a different way. And it's just more, it's deeper than just a game, right? It's not just a sport that you play on the field. There's something about what he taught that must have imparted on you that lacrosse is not just something that you play, 4 quarters and go about your day.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, he didn't teach me much about lacrosse at all. There was never really much X's and O's from him. That came from Desco and Donahue, and it was just his observation. He was always observing what was happening and really trying to structure, not structure, but manufacture the vibe of positivity and impact, and making a difference. you know, he was very proud of me and my accomplishments, and he would introduce me as the great Casey Powell. And I'd be a, you know, sophomore in college, and we'd go to an event, and I'd, you know, I wouldn't have a suit coat or a tie, and you know, the next day I would have a tie in my locker, or a, you know, a sport coat that coach, he'd recognize, you know, some of the things that I would need, but everybody loves him. Everybody loves that guy. You know, the impact that he's made, because he cares, and, he cares about who you are and where you're from. And, you know, he knows a little bit about everybody. So, that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to get to know my players the way that he did. And, you know, just trying to, you know, be more like him. So, like I said, I've had a lot of influence from Coach Simmons, but also a lot of other coaches as well. And I'm trying to take a little bit from each of them and, implement that into my own style.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and experience at all different levels, not just, collegiate Division I. One stop I want to talk about, is your stint kind of as a volunteer at Northwestern. Because when you talk about coaching legends, you know, Kelly Monty Hiller, you know, she might be the greatest coach to ever coach this game. What did she teach you? And just, again, being exposed to a different part of the sport must have had some impact as well.
Yeah, for sure. I feel really fortunate. You know, that wasn't a very high profile position for me, but I was able to go and be around her and around her, you know, Scott. And I learned a lot from her and the way that she structured practices and the way, you know, how she started practices. And she talked, you know, they would sit in a circle or lay in a circle, and they would, you know, talk about mindset, and they would talk about their goals and their dreams. And so they'd spend a great amount of time, you know, thinking about the game. Whereas, you know, we go out, throw the ball out and start running around. And at Northwestern, they really put thought into, you know, their preparation. The practices were timed. So, you know, 10 minutes on the clock, that's line drills. The horn would go, and then they'd have a couple minutes to kind of regroup, rethink, and then they'd move to another activity or another tactical solution or another piece of training, and the clock would start again. And so everything was very organized in terms of, you know, their approach to training. And that was kind of the opposite of Coach Simmons. Coach Simmons, you know, we'd get up and down and run as fast as we can. And we loved, you know, running up and down the field in the dome, of course. But this was a different way of, you know, thinking about practice and thinking about development and training. And I've tried to become more thoughtful in my coaching. And one of my big things that I've learned along the way is the term mindset before skill set. So everything that we do, let's think about why we're doing it. Let's make sure it fits, you know, the reason that, you know, and what's the end goal of these things. So mindset before skill set is something I'm going to, you know, rely on heavy here at Lemoyne and share with our student athletes, and be thoughtful in our approach to training, to practice, to, you know, schedule manufacturing, what trips we're going to go to, what are we going to do in the off season? You know, how are we going to continue to develop around the clock and get the right people here?
You know, another thing that, you know, I imagine is going to have an impact on the way that you think about coaching is, you know, you've gone through this whole process with your daughter in terms of the recruiting, going to college and, you know, the whole circuit and that it goes through it. How, you know, getting that side of things, the parent side of things, I imagine it's going to change a little bit or just shape a little bit about those interactions you have with, you know, a player is not just a person that comes into your program. It's a whole family. It's, you know, you're changing their life in a significant way. How formative is that experience?
Well, you know, that's what I teach. And that's what I talk about when I do my clinics. I did a camp yesterday and I said, hey guys, I'm now a Division I head coach. If I was here, these kids were, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth graders. I said, if I was here to recruit you for my school, I wouldn't need to watch you play. Like I can tell, you know, by your training and your attitude towards training and you know how you show up on a field and how you warm up and how you get going. Like that's I'm on the lacrosse field all the time. I know what it takes to be a great player. I know the protocol. I know the effort that needs to be dictated on a daily basis. And so that's a big thing that I'm gonna implement and recognize is, we gotta work hard and it's gotta be a daily thing. When I was a young player, my coach said, hey, we used to watch West Genesee, and take their practice plan and turned it kind of into, what Carthage lacrosse became. We wore our socks up to our knees like they did. And we basically did their same practice routine, but our advantage is we had 3 or 4 years in the backyard without anybody telling us how to play or what to do. So we had this creative style matched up with this, disciplined, successful, body of work that Coach Mike Massera put together. And then my coach, Coach Vinicuatro, really, went out there and saw, hey, this is the most successful lacrosse program. We're going to do it like that. So we were able to, learn that. But one of the things that I always did, I dominated line drills. You do some form of it every day, whether you're scrimmage, practice, or game, you do line drills. So most players, I'd say 90% of the players that I come across, they just chill and they go through the motions and, they get the ball in another stick. But the very best players and something that I devoted my time to was to dominate line drills. For 30 minutes every single day, as fast as I could, as hard as I could, making moves, game speed, perfect ground balls, preparing myself for the moment and for the opportunities that were lying ahead. So I used that all the way till I was 40, playing pro major league lacrosse. And I ran as hard as I could in line drills. I got the ball in and out of my stick in line drills as fast as I could. And I would try to beat the guy in front of me to the end of the line just to work on my conditioning. So I had everything I needed in that first 30 minutes of practice to really set the tone for who I was as a player and what else I was going to bring to the rest of the practice. So mediocre players kind of chill and get warmed up a little bit. But great players use that opportunity as training. So if we're not going 100 miles an hour and we're not going as hard as we could at practice, where are they doing that? So that's the place to perform and to push yourself and to develop and give all you got. And that's what we're going to expect here, at Lemoyne.
You mentioned Carthage. So I need to take a left turn here and say, Jason Kaufman, how do we get him in the Hall of Fame?
Oh man, we got to get him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, all-time leading scorer, collegiate history. Somebody that he was 2 years older than me, but grew up in my backyard. And of all the people that I've played with, I would love to play with Jason Kaufman on the right side and John Grant Jr. on the left side. No doubt about it. They both kind of had the same mentality. They both basically said, hey, call me 7-Eleven because we're always open type thing. So those guys were, wicked competitors. And Jason, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. If not an all-time legendary scoring machine, who else are you putting in the Hall of Fame in front of him? So, yeah, he was older than me, Carthage, first person to play collegiate lacrosse from Carthage and to do what he did, the way that he did it is still to this day, 25, 30 years later, just a incredible body of work. Just a tremendous competitor, unbelievable stick skills. Coach Berkman, when they were blowing out games, they'd try to get Jason sub off Jason out of the game. Jason would have like 8 goals and 2 assists in the first half. And Berkman would be like, Jason, subbing you off. And Jason would ignore him. And Coach Berkman would have to call a timeout just to get him out the field. He's like, why do I have to come off? I work harder than those guys. Why do they get to play? Just because we're smoking this team. I give all my gas. So he would fight just to be on the field. That's how much of a competitor he was. But, yeah, one of the greatest scorers in lacrosse history. And, Jason Kaufman certainly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I spoke to Berkman about his retirement a few weeks ago, and I think half the podcast we talked about Jason Kaufman, which just shows how much of an impact he's had on everybody. But yeah, again, shifting gears even more a little bit, Casey, again, you've you've been involved in so many different levels of lacrosse, and you know the Olympics are coming up, and it's playing the sixes format, and that's something I feel like you were kind of early on the boat for with speed lacrosse in terms of the small-sided games and how that can impact you as an athlete, and just how much fun it is to play that discipline of the sport. You know, what are your thoughts on seeing lacrosse played in the sixes and the small-sided play, and how much that can improve your game?
Well, other people call it small-sided. I don't. I don't think there's anything small about speed lacrosse. I think it's the future. You know, if you look at sports and you know, and you talk about sixes, and you know, I kind of missed the boat and having the opportunity to play that. But it's, you know, it's box lacrosse without walls. You know, it's kind of that the same format and the same play. I recently, a year ago, I did a clinic down in Costa Rica, and I went, and all 80 of the lacrosse players in Costa Rica came as part of their national team. And I did a clinic for about 90 minutes and, you know, ground balls, passing, catching, shooting, all that. And then I said, all right, give me three attack, give me three middies, give me 3D. And they just looked at me, and they didn't know regular lacrosse. They've only been taught the sixes. So you know, they didn't know regular. So that kind of caught me off guard that, hey, wow, that's kind of bizarre that, you know, other parts of the world, they're learning this style. So it's confusing. No doubt about it. As we continue to grow the game and, you know, to see all the different styles, but it's all fun and it's all good. And I think everybody's collectively trying to, you know, make it all work in the different formats. You know, speed lacrosse, I've gone to, you know, US lacrosse, and I've, you know, tried to make contact with world lacrosse, but I don't really understand why, they're not more behind, what it is. The 3-on-3 speed lacrosse is, just a barrier to entry. It has a, you know, easy rule set. All you need is a stick and a softball. You know, I look back to when I started, our first lacrosse goal was a picnic table. We flipped it up and we didn't have a goal, so we were able to use that. So when I retired from pro lacrosse, I said, why was I so successful? Why do I love the game so much? And it all translated back to my backyard, where I fell in love with the game and where I pretended I was Gary and Paul Gate, and where I, you know, my brother we'd tighten the net every night and mow the little grass patches that we had left. And my brother Mike would put flour around the crease, and every night was a big championship. And we would envision ourselves being great players and Coach Simmons on the sidelines. And we'd literally kind of, we're in this fantasy land, but just the amount of touches and the amount of experience that I had from playing that game and in the core fundamentals of the game set me apart from the rest. So my, you know, I broke the all-time high school scoring record, Syracuse scoring record, Major League Lacrosse scoring record. Like, the reason I was successful at scoring is because the amount of reps that I had in all the different elements of playing in my backyard, and right-handed, left-handed, down the middle, you know, sweeping to the left, screen shots, you know, dodging from behind where my clothesline was. We had to duck under the clothesline. But all my love and all my development was responsible for backyard style lacrosse. And that's why I created speed lacrosse. It's easy to get into. It's fun to play. It's not about, you know, playing to, get a scholarship or college. It's to play for the joy of the game. And that's, you know, when I think about my success, that's what I was able to capture. Is I loved it. And I loved to train. I loved being on a field. And, you know, 3-on-3 speed lacrosse is just a great way to get in. Our slogan's anyone, anywhere, anytime. And that's the truth. You know, you can play that style on different surfaces. You can play it in the parking lot, on turf, on the beach, and snowbanks. And like I said, you just need a stick and a ball, and it has a really cool standardized, easy to learn rule set. So it's a lot of fun. And that's what it takes to be good. You gotta have fun doing it, and you gotta have passion about, you know, what you're doing. So, but I was able to, play so much, compete so much. And, you look at practice, you go on, you could go on TikTok or Instagram right now and look at lacrosse trainers, and everybody's like dodging against nobody. They'll do a split dodge against nobody and score a goal. And that's fun, and it's good to develop your moves and stuff like that. But I was always competing against my brothers or my neighbors, and I was doing the same stuff, but there's a little bit more friction that I had to get past to be successful. And so my training always included, playing against people and competing and having fun. And but with the Sixes and the Olympics, certainly, I mean, what an exciting time for lacrosse to have this amazing opportunity. So it's going to be really fun. I hope that we're ready. I wish lacrosse, whoever's making these decisions and would better understand what's about to happen here. But I think there's going to be, speed lacrosse can be a catch net for anybody that's interested in the game. And then, if you love it, if you like it after trying, that style, then you can move on to kind of the other, sixes or box lacrosse or, field lacrosse, men's and women's and things like that. So, I founded speed lacrosse from my backyard because of the passion that I have for the game. And I just think it's an opportunistic opportunity for lacrosse players that I continue to have passion for and believe in, because I think that it will make a big impact in the sport and really get more players playing. Whereas, club lacrosse has seemed to kind of plateaued a little bit of some of the growth of the game. And, people are utilizing that to play at the next level. And, it's a big thing, but let's not forget about the greatness of the game and how fun it is. And it's played to uplift and to heal and the original intentions and all that. So, that format is something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, and I think any great lacrosse player has that backyard story, or that, field behind the school, or whatever it is that they where they grew to love the game. I grew up playing hockey and playing hockey with my brother, and we would just create these games out of nowhere where it was just the two of us playing each other, and we made up a rule set, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be so structured to be fun and to make an impact. And I think when you look at the greats now, I think of CJ Kirst and him playing with his brothers and his late father in his backyard, and that's what made him so successful. When you see greatness now at the pro level, you saw Rob Pennell just break the all-time pro field points record. When you look at these guys and how they're playing, the level of lacrosse is pretty incredible right now, don't you agree?
It is 100%. The skill level, the understanding, is at an all-time high. One of the things that I recognize is the athleticism of the defenseman, and I feel like that's really upgraded. And I'm, I felt like I was, when I played, I wasn't afraid to take anybody. And I think these days I would second guess some of the guys that I would be taking. So I think, defensively and overall, the game's just getting better, and people are learning it quicker and learning what works. And certainly I've been following Rob Pennell since he started, and one thing about records, and I was talking to Joey Spolino, sharing about his record yesterday in Denver at my camp. And it's players that come to play. They're gamers, and what's more impactful as a player than being a gamer, somebody that comes to play every day, every game. And they stand the test of time. They find a way in, and they find a way to make impact every day. So you look at Rob Pennell, and what a great ambassador of the game he is. And to do what he did at Cornell, and to see what he's done in the pros, and we talked about it yesterday. He's a pro's pro. He's he grabs his lunch pail, goes to work, and he utilizes what he's good at time after time, and doesn't really need to go outside of that. So he's effective at different areas in different ways, and to put up that amount of points as a marked man over the course of his career has been pretty incredible, and fun to watch, and certainly awesome for the sport of lacrosse.
And you mentioned Joey, and then you were just with him, but two straight years going to the Final Four. That number 22, as you know, it has a lot of meaning behind it. And, you know, it's possible he was the most hyped player ever going into college and had the most pressure on him. What do you think of the legacy he's helped, you know, continue with that number 22?
Well, you know, one thing that stands out, like I said, I was in Denver with him yesterday and we break for camp for lunch and everybody's at lunch except him. He's out still in the 95 degree weather shooting top corner. He's got a game this weekend against the Archers. So that's on his mind. And that's how he is. So, you know, the greatness is, you know, is earned, and that's what he's done. He's a great kid, comes from a lacrosse family. What he did at Syracuse was certainly impressive. He's disappointed he didn't win championships. He's a champion, and, he's been fun to watch the Powell family respects everything that he's done. And it's like those little things by being out on a field when nobody else is and being the first guy. And like, that's the stuff that we did. So, and that's the difference, right? Is the difference makers are doing things that other people don't want to do all the time. And, if you do that on a continued basis, you know, things happen, and Joey understands that. He learned at a young age and was able to watch some of the best players as part of, you know, Long Island lacrosse and his family, ties and being a part of the Lizards and, you know, things like that. So he's had a front row seat, to the greatest show on turf. And, the fact that he came to Syracuse and did what he did was impressive and cool and exciting. And, you know, now we have the NLL drafts coming up, and he'll be probably number one or two or three pick. And, you know, so he's a full-time lacrosse guy and kind of doing what I did. So he's been fun to watch.
You're going to give Gary a call, get Syracuse on the schedule.
Gary reached out a couple days ago and sent me a nice little note and wants to get together for lunch and, you know, be of help. Of course, you know, I'd love to get them on the schedule at some point. You know, we have a tremendous amount of work to do in order to compete with a program like that. That's the goal. You know, we want to try to bring in players. We want to try to compete at the highest level, and to be the best, you got to beat the best, and we're going to strive to be the best that we can be. And, you know, I'd love to have that opportunity someday to play against Gary and my former team.
Casey, I'm going to wrap this up here, but I do want to, you know, kind of end with give me a phrase or a word that when people watch Lemoyne play, what do you want people to feel and think?
Energy. So we're going to do everything with a tremendous amount of energy. We're going to get excited about what we're doing. We're going to play for something bigger than ourselves. We're going to try to, you know, put our best foot forward. But the goal is to put a tremendous amount of energy into this opportunity, to share that with my players, to share that with my coaching staff, and to share that with Lemoyne College. So, I'm not taking this opportunity lightly. Like I said, this is day one in the office, so I have a lot of work to do, a lot of, you know, catching up on just the minutiae of lacrosse coaching. It's a lot of other stuff other than coaching. So I love being on the field, but my goal is to kind of get a grip here of, you know, how to manage this program and manage this operation. And I'll be looking forward to getting on the field where the easy and the fun stuff happens. But excited to get to know my guys, bring in a cool staff that can make impact and like I said, focus on winning the day.
Casey, it's always a joy. Congrats. And we're looking forward to see the next chapter with Lemoyne.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.